ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो चयमुदीरयेत्। नस्तापरेषु अपात्रेषु नित्यं भगवत्सेवया अकमत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिभावति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णे स्वात्मपाकते तामज्ञानपि सह कालोनास्तु त्रिजामेषा पूर्णार्कुत नोदितः। रान्तराजसिंहपाकवतान् की जय। So we read from Srimad Bhagavatam 6, canto 15, chapter, text 16. Tasmat yuvam gramya pashor mama mudha tiya prabhu andhe tamasi maknasya jnana dipa udiryatam. Tasmat yuvam gramya pashor, tasmat yuvam gramya pashor, mama mudha diya prabhu, mama mudha diya prabhu, ande tamasi maknasya, ande tamasi maknasya, jnana dipa udiryatam, jnana dipa udiryatam. Tasmat, therefore, yuvam, both of you, gramya pasha, of an animal like a hawk, pig, or dog. Mama, me, mudha diya, I'm very foolish due to having no spiritual knowledge. Prabhu, O my two lords, ande, in blind, tamasi, darkness, maknasya, of one who is absorbed, jnana dipa, the torchlight of knowledge, udiryatam, let it be ignited. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Because these words are spoken by King Chitraketu to Narada Muni and Angira Muni, two great sages. Because you are great personalities, you can give me real knowledge. I'm as foolish as a village animal, like a pig or dog, because I'm merged in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, please ignite the torch of knowledge to save me. Purport. This is the way to receive knowledge. One must submit oneself at the lotus feet of great personalities who can actually deliver transcendental knowledge. It is therefore said, Tasma kurum prabhadyeta jigyasa shreyam uttamam. One who is inquisitive to understand the highest goal and benefit of life must approach a bona fide spiritual master and surrender unto him. Only one who is actually eager to receive knowledge To eradicate the darkness of ignorance is eligible to approach a guru or spiritual master. The guru should not be approached for material benefits. One should not approach a guru just to cure some disease or receive some miraculous benefit. This is not the way to approach the guru. Tattvikyartam. One should approach the guru to understand the transcendental science of spiritual life. Unfortunately, in this age of Kali, there are many bogus gurus who display magic to their disciples, and many foolish disciples want to see such magic for material benefits. These disciples are not interested in pushing spiritual life to save themselves from the darkness of ignorance. It is said, Om Agya Timranyasya Kiranchana Salakaya Chakshur Unmiltam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. This gives the definition of the guru. Everyone is in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, everyone needs to be enlightened with transcendental knowledge. One who enlightens his disciple and saves him from rotting in the darkness of ignorance in this material world is a true guru. Tasmat yuvam gramya pashor mama mudha diya prabhu ante tamasi magnasya jnana deepa udiryatam. Because you are great personalities, you can give me real knowledge. I'm as foolish as a village animal, like a pig or dog, because I merge in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, please ignite the torch of knowledge to save me. Om Agya Timaranyasya Gnanchana Salakayam Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayadikarim Yad Kripatam Mahambande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahoditao Gaudadaya Pushpavanto Chitra Sando Tamavanadao Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gora Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Hare Krishna, God, thank you for the opportunity that I can speak today. Although not prepared, I had to jump in for someone else. I'm sorry for those who expect other speaker, so I have to... I will try my best to tell something about this verse, but it's a very nice verse, very nice and important for all of us. So, Chitraketu Maharaj, he was a very materialistic person. At the beginning, like we all were materialistic before we became devotee. So he had a great desire to have son, as we all know, but didn't succeed, one son after another. He married one wife after another, but ultimately had so many wives and still no son. He became very desperate. He lamented, not because of separation of Krishna. He was lamenting, but he was lamenting to not have a son, because he was a king. And a king, he needs to have at least one son, Putra, who will take up, first of all, after his death, or when he leaves for Vanaprastha in the forest. He needs a son who will continue to rule the kingdom, be the next king. So that's the rule in the royal dynasties in India and all over the world. It's like that, or it was like that. Another thing is the son is also important because he's putra. He will deliver the father in case he will go down to hellish life, to uplift him to human form of life because of offering him pitri yagya. That's a Vedic process. So therefore a king who doesn't have a son, even if he would have a daughter but no son, he cannot be happy. He's scared. So he's in great anxiety about his succession, about the benefit of the citizen, and also for his own welfare. So he was very sad. He was lamenting, and he was in the deepest mood of psychic mental absorption. Too much absorbed. He was not even thinking about Krishna or help for the Lord about that time. But there's fortunately Krishna who is in everyone's heart as a super soul, Paramatma. He knows the feeling, of a personality and his suffering. And in Chitraketu's case, he got the great mercy, causeless mercy, so that the two great sages, Narada Muni and Angira, his good friend, Angira Muni, appeared in the palace of the king. Actually, Angira Muni came and Narada just accompanied him first. And that is, as it is described in the previous verses, they were dressed as avadutas. Like somebody who is very difficult to be recognized by the mundaners or those who are just looking on the external appearance of a personality. How he is dressed with suit and tie, like a gentleman. Automatically, if somebody is dressed like a gentleman, although he's maybe foolish, and gives him respect just because of dress. But now these two sages didn't dress like in ordinary way. They were just ordinary dress, simple dress. Not attractive for the mundaners. Not interesting for the mundaners. And therefore the mundaners cannot recognize the great riches of a great personality who is not rich by money but rich by knowledge. When Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy, there was after their meeting in South India, Lord Chaitanya met Ramananda Roy. So Lord Chaitanya was very happy to meet him and receive so much inspiration from Ramananda Roy's of his knowledge, of his realization of rasa. So in the end, Lord Chaitanya he asked Ramananda Roy to meet another day. And for 10 days they spent time together speaking about Krishna. This time Lord Chaitanya played the role of the inquisitive one who is asking the question, and Ramananda Roy, he took the position of guru. Although he was born in Shudra, he was considered Shudra, Kayasta in Bengal, also Orissa at that time. the Kayasthas or those who were some landowners or some rulers, but they were not, they were considered Shudras. So Ramananda Roy, he considered himself Shudra, but Lord Chaitanya immediately recognized Ramananda Roy, because Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma, he requested Lord Chaitanya, if you go to South India to meet Ramananda Roy in Kaveri, on the bank of Kaveri, he is residing, his governor there. You will not regret it, his great soul. Of course, Lord Chaitanya already knew that eternal associates. And Lord Chaitanya could recognize Ramananda Roy, and Ramananda Roy could recognize Lord Chaitanya. Although Ramananda Roy was surrounded by many of his brahmanas, advisors, and because it was in the morning time, two times in the day, one goes to the river and doing his sandhya duties. He's taking his bath, chanting Gayatri, doing some pious activities for the forefathers, for the demigods, like that, for the sages, for the humanity, for the animals, for every benefit for everyone, Pitris, forefathers, like that. So Ramananda Roy was surrounded by so many brahmanas, Vaidikas, who were strict followers of Vedic rituals. Because he was Shudra, he could not perform a ritual himself. So therefore the Vaidyas, they're doing that, they're performing the rituals. But now these Vaidyas, they were completely amazed. Oh, here is Ramananda Roy, he's such a, in one sense, a great personality, but he also knew he was Shudra, and here is a sannyasi, and the sannyasi is embracing a Shudra, and both of them are crying. Both of them were crying like sentimentalists. So they were completely flapper-minded, you know, very confused. And they didn't know how to put this in proper order of understanding. So Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Lord and his very dear devotee, belonging to the internal energy of the Lord, meeting together. So it was great happiness, great joy. They recognized each other. But Lord Chaitanya accepted Ramananda Roy. He wanted to make him the speaker, instrumental, like a marionette, like a puppeteer. He's using marionette. Lord Chaitanya was the the puppeteer, player. And Ramananda Roy became the instrument. He became the speaker. And Lord Chaitanya was asking questions and Ramananda Roy giving answer. And that answer, in that one day, Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy, who is the greatest capitalist? Who is the richest person? And then Ramananda Roy replied, he is the richest or the greatest capitalist who has love to Radha Krishna. Who is a lover of Radha Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya also asked, what is the greatest misery? And Ramananda Roy replied, the greatest misery is if one is deprived of the association of pure devotees, of Vaishnavas. And the greatest good fortune, Lord Chaitanya asked, the greatest good fortune, Ramananda Roy replied, is if one can associate with the devotees, with the Vaishnavas. So the Vaishnava is actually the richest. They're the greatest capitalist because they have love to Krishna and they have knowledge about Krishna, about bhakti. And they're ready and they're capable to give it to everyone whom to like to give it. Bhakti is free. It's the mercy energy of the Lord. And when a Vaishnava decides out of his mercy to give somebody this bhakti, then that person will receive it, although he's materially not qualified. He didn't perform so many pious activities. He maybe was a great sinner or very much attached to karma, to fruitive activities, to materialistic results, family happiness, opulences. Chitraketu was in this category. He had all these desires for his own benefit, but still he got the rare darshan of two great personalities, great devotees of the Lord, especially Narad Muni and also Angira. He is known as one famous great sage who has a lot of Vedic knowledge. Mostly Angira Muni is in connection with Karma Kandya, helping those who are engaged in karma activities to uplift them somehow or other to the platform of jnana and ultimately to liberation. But Angira brought Narada with him, so that's important, because Narada is not attracted to karma, jnana or upasana, because for him this is just like Narottam Das Thakur saying, like two pots of poison. So Narada is fully empowered with to give bhakti, is the embodiment of bhakti, because when Brahma, the firstborn, felt compassion for the conditioned souls who are suffering in this machinery of complex entanglement of material existence. So Brahma felt very compassionate how to save them. So out of his heart, Narada appeared. So Narada is the embodiment of bhakti, because only bhakti can bring auspiciousness for the entire universe. But we have to receive it, and it has to be distributed and be given by a bhakta, a devotee. Bhakti is a devotee's possession. Krishna is not giving directly bhakti. He is giving bestows bhakti or knowledge about bhakti through devotee. So Narada and Angira, they came, and fortunately the king, although materialistic, but it seems to be he was educated to recognize who is sadhu and who is not sadhu. He could recognize who is a great personality, who is a brahmana. So he could recognize that. Otherwise he could not be a king. A king has to recognize a brahmana, because the brahmanas are the head of the society. And Narada Muni anyway was very famous all over the universe. So Chitraketu Maharaj must have heard about Narada from the different legends and stories of Puranas. So he could recognize them, although they came not recognizable for ordinary people. Like when Shukadev Goswami left the home, his father's home, after he taking birth. He was like Avaduta. He was not even dressed. Therefore, the ordinary people could not recognize him. The women and the children, they were just making jokes about him. But when these women and children saw that when Shukadev Goswami arrived before Maharaj Parikshit, and all the sages and everyone rise from their seats to offer their respect to Shukadev Goswami, then the women and the children, faded away. They became quiet and left the place. They immediately got respectful and fear. Became afraid. Oh, he's not that what we thought what he is. So they could not recognize. But the sages, they could recognize. Maharaj Parikshit could recognize. And therefore Parikshit Maharaj, although there were many other sages capable to instruct him, it was Parikshit Maharaj who chose Shukadev Goswami as his instructor of Bhagavatam, his guru. And therefore he asked questions. So if one meets an important personality or a devotee or a knowledgeable person, one should subordinate ourselves and consider ourselves foolish. Not only intellectually consider ourselves like that, but really feel yourself foolish. Not like a joke. There's another instance. Of course, this is Leela. In Dwaraka, the sons of Krishna, Shamba, and others, they became a little proud because they were sons of Krishna. And they one time approached Narada Muni, and I think Angira and other great sages were also in this group of devotees, of sages. And they asked them, and they thought, oh, we want to mock them. We want to mock them. We want to play with them. Because they were playful boys, princes, you know, completely spoiled. So they wanted to play with the sages. And they dressed one of the boys as a girl with a sari and put some pillow underneath to make her seem pregnant. And they brought her before the great sages and asked, our dear Prabhus, can you please tell us, this girl here is pregnant, will she get a boy or a girl? And the sages became completely upset, angry. Cannot play with sages. They're very grave, you know, they're very deep. You cannot joke with them. Ridicule them. So they became very upset, and they told the child that will take birth from this girl will be the destructor of your whole Yadu dynasty. So you can see the opposite effect. If you are not really seriously approaching sages and great personalities in a humble mood, in a submissive mood, in a very sincere mood, the sages immediately can recognize it, and they will not bestow the knowledge to you, they will not give you a blessing, they will not, and they even sometimes, even especially if you ridicule them or you're blaspheming them in direct, knowingly or unknowingly, they maybe curse you. So that happened. Of course, this is Leela with the Yadus. But here Chitraketu Maharaj, he was really lamenting, I'm very fallen. I feel like a village animal. Ignorant, like a village animal. That's also stated by Krishna. That those who consider their body, yasyatmi buddhi kuna petri daduke, yadi kalatradishu abhauma ichati, yatirta buddhi salinena karichi chanesha abhigeshu sa eva gokara. So, in other words, those who are too much attached with this material body, deha, was a combination of three dhatu, of three elements, kapha, pitta, vata, who consider their fatherland or the motherland is my land, bhauma ichati, it is worshipable, it is respectable, we should glorify it. And really, consider ourselves an identification with our country, and be proud of our country, to represent our country, then that my family members, they belong to me, my countrymen, they're my kinsmen, we are from the same. And they will only go to holy place to take a bath, not to listening, associating with sainted personalities. Krishna tells to his family members, the Yadus, in front of the sages in Kurukshetra, then this kind of mentality, Yatirtha Buddhisa Linena Karichi Chaneshu Abhigeshu Saeva Gokara. So it's the mentality of a cow and an ass. Because if one is on animal platform, then one cannot recognize the importance of we are not this body, that we are spirit soul. And we cannot recognize a devotee. We cannot recognize a sage. We cannot ask questions to a sage, beneficial for us, so that we can use this knowledge and apply it in our life. So Chitra Ketu Maharaj, he had this deep feeling of bodily concept of life. I'm so much attached and completely anchored in this material existence, in family life, in success in family life. Please, my dear Prabhus, my dear masters, you are great personalities, you have this knowledge. Please give me this torch of knowledge from you. You can give me the eyesight, the proper understanding. I'm blinded, I'm in darkness. And Prabhupada is quoting here this famous verse, Omakyati Marandyasya Gananchana Salakyam Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasma Sri Gurave Namaha. I have fallen in the deepest darkness of existence, but my spiritual master mercifully with the torch of knowledge gives me the eyesight in which direction to go. This is called Sambandha. Sambandha, to give us identification, who we are, what is the goal of life, and what is the way to attain it. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. So Chitraketu was in that time not ready to receive the transcendental knowledge. Therefore, Angira Muni wanted to help him to fulfill his material desire, because that's Angira Muni's position. He can give this kind of blessing. Narada is not interested to give this blessing. He gave the blessing later on, his instructions to Angira, Chitraketu. He gave it later on. But now at this point, the king was not ready to receive transcendental instructions. He wanted to have a son. And Angira, he gave him this blessing. So Sadhu, he can give you also material blessing. But if this material blessing turns into misery, into suffering, and you still will not become satisfied or detached and ask for transcendental enlightenment, then one is really foolish. Then one is condemned in this material existence. So Angira got a good fortune. Chitraketu, he got the good fortune to get the material blessing first, and then after that also suffered because he got a son, but that caused another suffering. That will be the story. So we will hear in the next days of the classes. Later on, Narada then gave him the ultimate knowledge, because the king was then in the proper mood and he could make the best of his life, that he became elevated, to become an associate of Lord Sankarshan. So it's a long story here in Bhagavatam. So I want to close here, maybe some question. Can you tell again?
Yeah, if a Chitrakhetu was considering himself to be foolish like an animal, raw in darkness, so he's asking the guru to give him special blessing and mercy, but the person who's asking, he has to be ready to hear it. I mean, it's not that the guru's going to wave a special wand and all of a sudden you become transcendentally situated. I mean, the knowledge is there, but it also depends on the person asking for the knowledge, that's the proper recipient.
The question is?
It's like Chitrakhetu is asking to receive the blessings and knowledge of Angira and Narada, but the blessing is always available, but the person who's asking has to be ready to hear it.
Yes, yes.
That's the
That's the point. Guru will not give you something more than you are ready to accept. Because it's an offense, you know, to speak to an attached person about Rasa Leela and highest topic of bhakti. It's offense. So therefore a qualified guru or any instructor guru also will not give to attached personalities the advice or speaking about intimate Krishna Katha. That's not advisable. First one has to tell them about our position, about our sambandha, what we are and what we are not. Who is Krishna? Who is God? Who are we? What is our relationship with Him? This has to be given. But it seems to be Chitrakhetu was not even ready for that. He was not ready even for that because he had so much material desire. He had so material desire for a son. And no desire for money or a car or a house and land that he already had. And wives also, he had more than enough. So he also didn't desire more wives. He only was crazy for a son. So that seemed to be his main problem. And therefore, a sage like Angira was here, and he could give him this blessing. Okay, that's all what you need. Only a son? Okay, you will get it. But his name will be Shokaharsha, because sometimes they ask, you know, can you give also my son a name? Right? So many times when we're on tour, you know, I have to give the children, they come, can you give my son or girl name? Okay. I have to give him, of course, nice names about Krishna and Radha and like that, sound sweet and like that. But they know if they... But he got a very special name, this son, you know, Shokaharsha. And the king was surprised. Oh, Shokaharsha? Okay, Harsha I like, no, but Shoka also? Okay. But he thought, better to have a son who gives me a little Shoka or misery than no son. But of course, he could imagine what kind of misery he actually really will get. Because the son will stay only for a short time, his son, then he will leave. He will become killed by all the envious, jealous co-wives. because only one of his wives got a child. Anyway, it was by the blessing that what he desired. He desired only for the son, but all the other things he could not imagine what kind of happiness and distress and what will happen with the son. The son you will get, but then what will happen after that? That's important. Many of us, you know, we like to have children, son, daughters, you know, many if possible, at least two or three. But then what will happen with them? That's important. Will they bring you actually really good fortune? They maybe make you happy in the first 5 or 10 years, or then after that the crazy time is coming, and so much different orientation, completing, neglecting authority of the parents. And you give them everything, and now suddenly you're not important for them anymore. So causes a lot of troubles. Many times child gets sick, maybe sometimes even dies. Even in early time, you can die. Or it doesn't want to, fulfill your family plan, your desire. Like our neighbor, one boy is coming to us, and then here in Vrindavan, he's about 14-year-old, so he likes prasadam, so he comes, we give him prasadam. Grandfather, always coming there. He's very unhappy because he's now finished with the 5th grade of school. He doesn't want to continue with school. And then we ask him, what do you like? I want to become a rickshaw driver. Rickshawala. Here in Vrindavan. But the grandpapa wants to have, he wants that he should continue with the school so that he can get some higher profession. Then yesterday he came to us and asked him if he can convince the boy, you know, that he may continue with the school. But the boy didn't want to even speak with the grandfather. He didn't want to even see him. He didn't appear. Then ultimately he came after the grandfather left, and then he told, oh, I don't want to go back to school. I want to become a rickshaw driver. Rickshawala. And then later on we met the grandfather and told him, and then the grandfather ultimately also was happy. First he was unhappy, then he became happy. Okay, that's also good. Main thing that he is doing something, although he's a little too young still. But he can dream. Because in that age one dreams always crazy for so many things what one wants to do, what we want to achieve, what we want to gain. So it's a very difficult time. And for the parents, they have to go through so many tribulations of sufferings and frustrations and sometimes a little happiness, a little joy they get. But besides of that, a lot of misery. But that's a part of to get a son. But Angira thought, okay, you only want to have a son who give you a lot of trouble ultimately. Also some happiness because you will become happy that he's a son. You are finally a father. But it will only be a short time. But that he could not understand, the king at that time. But then after that, after he got this misery of experience of the son, then he became detached. And then he was ready to receive instruction of Narada Muni. Then Narada appeared, not Angira. Angira is not a response. He cannot give you bhakti. He cannot give you knowledge about bhakti because he is a sage of Brahmalok, one of the rishis there, who is responsible for karma kandya. So is jnana kanda and karma kanda. But bhakti kanda is only the privilege of Narada. and those who are empowered by Narada, who follow his succession. Okay? Yeah. Can you? Speak so that everyone can hear.
How one can become stable with this abundant grace?
How man?
How one can become?
Yeah.
How one can become stable with this abundant grace?
Stable.
Yes.
Yeah. To read Prabhupada books. Huh? Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, read the story, how Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatana Goswami, because Sanatana Goswami is our Sambandacharya. So there everything is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Sambanda and how to become absorbed in Sambanda Gyan and this knowledge and experience of our relationship with Krishna, our real relationship of Chivira Svarupai Krishnera Nitya Das as an eternal servant of Krishna, not as the body. Because as long as we approach Krishna with the body, I'm the body and I make my body beautiful for Krishna, material body, we cannot recognize or please Krishna with that. Krishna doesn't want to see your material identification. He wants to see your spiritual identification. This is Sambandha. The identification of the jiva to be servant of Krishna. And as long we don't understand that I am eternal servant of Krishna, we cannot engage in abhideya, in devotional service. And you always have to think, you always consider yourself, I'm the enjoyer, because your Sambandha is not established. And Sambandha is to be established first, before we go to devotional service and to Prayojana, to the Prema Bhakti level. So first Sambandha. That's the process that all Shastra is giving us. Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, even all the Vedic scriptures, it's all built up on Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. So, therefore Prabhupada gave us his books. His books are for my disciples and followers that they can read and absorb and establish themselves as eternal servants of Krishna. And then you can engage in devotional service. Huh? Therefore, that's the first duty that the Guru is giving you, Sambandha Gyan. Okay? Other? Still have 1 minute? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Krantarar Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki.